Track 462.
Note the map of the world. One can appreciate Cape Verde's ideal geographic location. You will hear the word Creole in reference to Cape Verdeans. This refers to the fact that Cape Verdean people and culture result from the mixing of the various settlers to the islands. The language developed from regular communication between Portuguese speakers and African language speakers, and the food and music have its roots in African culture. Note the large mortar and pestle, object number 14, which is one example of the African way of life in Cape Verdean daily living. It is used to grind corn, which is a staple in many Cape Verdean dishes. Please take note of the pano, number 2. This cloth demonstrates the contribution of African weavers who brought their weaving craft to Cape Verde in the mid-16th century. Its use has changed over time. It was traded both as a commodity and also used as currency when coins were scarce. It has been used to carry load, bundle babies to their mothers, and as a ritualistic funeral cloth. Also seen in this case is a replica of a slave pillory, number 6. In the city Cidade Velha of Ribeira Grande on the island of Santiago, a slave pillory still stands in the city square. Cidade Velha was the first European sub-Saharan settlement and was an active location during the transatlantic slave trade. The pillory was an important symbol of Portuguese power and was also a location where slaves were sold and punished. You will note other objects in this case frequently used in daily life. The butter churn, number 9, and the pitcher, number 10, are both made of clay from the island of Boa Vista, and salt from the island of Sal, number 15, that was used by English fishermen in the 1600s to preserve their catch. Note the music artifact, a mandolin, number 5, a traditional pastime of whalers on their long journeys. Whaling was unusual in the maritime trades because new crew members often needed no experience. Cape Verdeans could draw on centuries of indigenous maritime traditions. Their skills were so respected that by the 1860s, they comprised upwards of 60% of whaling crews. They were often willing to accept lower shares of the profits of a whaling voyage in their eagerness to leave the islands permanently after joining a whaling crew. Thus began the Cape Verdean immigration from the islands to New England in general and in New Bedford in particular. To the Portuguese and Cape Verdeans, New Bedford was known as their Ellis Island. Crewmen, after finishing their voyages, settled in New Bedford and sent for their families.